We have some fairly intense gospel today as we begin the season of Advent. And the word Advent comes from the word which means coming. And so what we look at is the first coming of Jesus Christ at Christmas, but also his second coming in glory at the end of time. And that's what our readings focus on today, this morning, is his second coming at the end of time. And Jesus says in the gospel, "Be vigilant at all times and pray that you have the strength to stand before the Son of Man." Which means that it's going to take a lot of strength, and not everybody is going to have the strength to stand before the Son of Man when he comes. And so what's going to happen at the end? Well, there's two judgments. The first is the particular judgment. And the particular judgment happens for each one of us as individuals at the end of our earthly life. And so at that moment, after our earthly life is finished, we stand immediately before Jesus Christ, and all of the actions of our life are revealed, as well as the true intentions of our hearts and the true state of our soul. And there's three possible outcomes from the particular judgment: heaven, hell, or purgatory. For people who are in a state of grace, meaning they're living in a state of friendship with God, who have no sin and no temporal punishment due to sin, you know, that they've done penance for any temporal punishment that they've accumulated, they would go directly to heaven. For people who die in a state of unrepentant mortal sin, in opposition to God, they would go directly to hell. And for those who die in a state of grace, but still have some venial sin, or still have some temporal punishment that they need to be purified of, they would go to purgatory, which is a place of purification by fire. And it's temporary. You know, sooner or later, everyone in purgatory will eventually reach heaven. Now, our gospel today looks forward to the second judgment, which will happen at the end of time. And we call this the general judgment because it will involve the entire human race. Every single human being from Adam and Eve to the last human being ever born will all be assembled when Jesus Christ returns in glory at the end of time. And the purpose of the general judgment is to make everything public. You know, our actions affect other people. Whether they're good actions or sin, it has an impact on other people. And as a human family, this will be what brings closure to human history. We'll see the effects of God's mercy on the sins that were forgiven and his justice. That will all be revealed. And so we'll see the effects of God's mercy and his justice upon the entire human race. Now, often people today tend to have a very lax understanding of what it means to go before Jesus Christ, you know, as if it's almost no big deal. You know, they take it for granted that, you know, when we leave this world, that it will be easy to stand before our Lord. But that's not what Jesus Christ tells us in today's gospel. You know, he says, "Be vigilant and pray that you have the strength to stand before the Son of Man." And so, you know, first question to ask is, you know, how do we reconcile this with a loving God? Because a lot of times people say, well, God is loving and God is merciful, and therefore it should be easy to stand before him. Well, there's no question that God loves us and that he's merciful. You know, he created each one of us out of love. He died for us on the cross, and he's constantly offering us grace to draw us closer to himself and to lead us to the right path. And so there's no question about God's love for us. But the question is, do we love God in return? Because God gives us free will. He's not going to force us to love him and force us to spend an eternity with him as if we're slaves. He treats us as his children. And so he gives us free will. And so the question is, how do we use our free will? Have we used our free will to love him and to serve him? Or have we exercised our free will to reject him? And so that's the real question. And so what does it mean to love God? You know, love is not just an emotion or a feeling. You know, like I feel warm things in my heart about God, therefore I love him. Love actually resides in our will. It's a virtue. And Jesus tells us that love is the fulfillment of the law, meaning love incorporates every single aspect of the moral law into it. And so in order to love God fully and totally, we need to obey the entirety of the moral law. And any sin that we commit is a defect in our love of God. And so God teaches us to treat each other with love and with charity. So if we have a short fuse with our family members and we're flying off the hook with them, or if we're screaming at someone in traffic, you know, every other driver who's around us, that's a defect in our love of God. You know, or if we're coveting the goods of another, or if we're getting drunk on weekends, or, you know, doing other immoral behavior, all of those things are defects in our love of God. And we all have defects. You know, it's an effect of original sin. But we need to work to overcome those defects through going to confession frequently, through prayer, daily prayer, and through a lot of effort on our part to overcome those defects. And if we do that, you know, we will have the strength to stand before Christ. It's not physical strength that we're talking about, but moral strength, strength in virtue. But if we allow vices to fester, if there's things in our lives that are sinful, and we just allow those to stay there, or sometimes people even live their lives in a state of disobedience to God, like they refuse to attend Mass every Sunday, or they refuse to follow certain moral teachings, they're not going to have the strength to stand before our Lord. And so, as we begin this Advent season, I encourage each one of us to do a very thorough examination of conscience. And to look at the different moral laws. You know, you can find a good examination of conscience online, or there's ones in the white prayer booklets in the pews. You know, do a good examination of conscience, and also to ask the question, are we prepared to stand before Jesus Christ? Where do we stand spiritually? In terms of the strength of our virtues, or are there vices that are present? To take a good account of where we are, and then to look at what we need to commit to this Advent. Advent is a time of penance, it's a time of purification, and it's a time of preparation. What do we need to be doing this Advent? What good works do we need to devote ourselves to? Or what vices do we need to work to overcome through penance and through prayer? So that we will be better prepared to stand before Jesus Christ when that day comes.